Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
It's about to be a fun ride. Follow along, watch as we slide. Paranormal just hit the lights. Goosebumps all through the night. Mix in just a little bit of twain. That girl sure can't do a thing. Together, hillbillies go insane. Laugh so hard it'll hurt your brain. Podcast you won't ever change. These two here, they got the recipe. Sat on back and listen in to some of our darkest mysteries, eh?
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. And now here's your host, Jerry and Tracy Polly, and their dog Ninja.
Hillbilly Horror House returns June 1st with Season 2.
Glad you can make it, man. Thanks.
Me too. So we're back here, huh?
I haven't seen him myself, but a lot of the guys are saying they see someone up there staring at them through that window.
Holy Mary, Mother of Jesus Christ.
Matt, you see that, right?
She's my wife. I'll protect her.
You cannot protect her.
Please! I know, I'm trying.
Make it stop. Get out.
What?
Get out.
Fine. You kiss my ass. I'm out of here.
She's the one that caused the accident.
That's it. I've had enough of this. It is time to end this chase.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 148 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy. How y'all doing? Oh, I did it again.
Yeah, just waiting for him to respond.
Hope y'all had a great weekend. We sure did.
It's pretty up here in this neck of the woods.
Yeah, it was a nice day today.
We got a cool story for you guys tonight, and it's literally, well, it's a little farther from us now, but from where we lived in Louisville, it's only like 30 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about hour and a half or so away now, but it's a place that I don't know that any podcast has ever talked about, at least as far as
in the whole universe,
any of the big ones. Well, I don't know if people on Neptune would have heard anything on down here, so it's possible somebody, yeah, on Saturn or something.
Okay, cool.
But it's we're going to do the Gates of Hell Cemetery.
Yikes.
In Elizabethtown. So we'll get into that in here in a little bit. But obviously, we want to thank all of our men and women in the military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Thank you guys and girls for what you do.
We appreciate y'all so much and love you. Take care.
So I should say guys and women.
What'd you say?
Girls. That's politically incorrect.
Oh, women. Well, we know what we are. We're women. We're strong.
Well, some people prefer just women.
Gotcha.
I've learned.
That's all right. But we appreciate you guys.
Yes, we do.
Please stay safe.
And we want to make sure everybody realizes that if they're going through some tough times right now, reach out, talk to somebody. It always makes things better when you can talk to somebody. And there are several different ways you could do that. You can call the Suicide Hotline in America, 1-800-275-8255. If you're more of a texter, 741-741. And on our Facebook group page, there is a list right there. As soon as you sign on to the group, I've made it where it's right at the head. It's a list of other numbers from around the country.
That's awesome.
For their suicide reports, because we can only give out the one. We have time to usually only give out the one, but there are several others, and we posted that. So you've got easy access to it.
Absolutely. Give us a call anytime if you need to. We're always here.
And while you're in the group, if you want to share there, there's plenty of support there. It's a giant support group with about 3,500 people are right now.
It's amazeballs. Hey, I have an issue.
What?
But it's not like that.
It's an issue, but go ahead.
An issue. My butt itches. You know where you go to the tanning bed?
I don't, because I've never went to the tanning bed.
There's
plenty of ways for me to get cancer for free without having to go pay for a subscription to get cancer.
Oh. What'd you have to do that for?
I'm just saying. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Go ahead.
Now I'm depressed.
You was already depressed.
Never mind about my butt.
Well, you can call this number, 1-800.
I will.
275-8255.
I might have to.
Reach out and talk to somebody in a group about it. I'm sure somebody else has an itchy butt that they can talk to you
about. It's not from like wiping or anything. It's from the tanning bed.
Okay, we've gotten way off track here. We heard a little commercial beforehand just to let everybody the heads up that last night, or at least on the first, the new episodes of season 2 of Hillbilly Horror House have started, so go check that out.
Yeah.
It's no longer an hour show, so you'll have to go over and subscribe to Hillbilly Horror House, check out the new season.
Yes, go check them out.
All right, so let's talk about tonight's show. The Gates of Hell Cemetery. This is going to, there's a bunch that we can talk about on here, but next week, next Sunday, so a week from today, is the Bobby Mackey show. And oddly enough, this show is going to have some tie-ins to that, including the Gates of Hell Cemetery.
Is this the cemetery you were wanting to go to?
Yeah.
You are crazy as a mofo.
This one you're going to find is not your typical stories.
Well, you know what? That's fine. You go by your little old self. I'll be hanging out with my itchy butt.
Okay. So let's talk about this. Now, like I said, this is more of a local story that I think has great appeal to some of the greater appeal than some of the big stories that we've done. Everybody knows about Bobby Mackey's. Everybody knows about Waverly.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody knows about this place. And I think that's why it was important to share the story. And normally on something like this, it's hard to come up with a lot of information, but this one's a little easier than you would think, which is why I'm surprised that more people don't talk about it on some of these podcasts. And
well, probably because they're scared.
Well, there's no scarier than anything else.
Well,
anyway, we're talking about the Gates of Hell Cemetery in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Now, some of you will remember the movie called Elizabethtown that had Orlando Bloom and Kristen Dunst in it. From 2005.
That's not what that's from, though, is it?
Yes.
That's from. It's about that whole. Is it about that cemetery?
No, it's not about the cemetery.
Oh,
it's
just
about
in
the town. It's a love story. There's not a whole lot of cemetery love.
Well,
stories.
I was thinking that, but I was like, maybe did they make a movie about that too? But I'll shut up now.
But it is the same Elizabethtown as the movies, and but all the locals call it E Town. Nobody calls it Elizabethtown. If you're unfamiliar with where the area is, it's, like I said, about 30, 40 minutes south of Louisville, and it's really close to Fort Knox. So I used to live out 10 minutes from Fort Knox. So we used to, you know, go to E-Town all the time. That was the big city there, E-Town and Radcliffe.
Because you lived in the boonies.
I did. So obviously, this place was right there, and being the paranormal enthusiast as I am, I made sure that I went there. Some call it Grandview Cemetery. Some call it Casey Cemetery. Those are actual names. It was a family cemetery at one point, Casey Family Cemetery. But it's more commonly known as the Gates of Hell Cemetery.
The family must love that.
Yeah. Well, it's over 300 years old, so it goes back to 1795. So most of the family members probably
are dead.
Yeah, I'm guessing. That's when it was founded anyway. It was 1795. Now, what's there right now? It's not your typical well laid out cemetery. It's semi-deserted. It's not very well taken care of.
Oh.
And a lot of vandalism has taken place. Now, it's got what's left of an old iron and stone gate, which just adds to the eeriness, as you can imagine. There's all kinds of rumors from this place involving occult rituals and satanic worshiping. There's one story that says that there's a giant green orb that appeared, and it just kind of hovered for a little bit, and then it shot straight up into the sky and disappeared in like a second's time.
Oh, dang.
There have been no shortage of sightings of shadow figures and sounds of screaming coming from the cemetery. And we're going to hear a little bit about the shadow figures coming up from a friend of the show, Bishop James Long. Because, and I said that there were some tie-ins to Bobby Mackey's. If you guys have seen Portals of Hell, when they had their episode of Bobby Mackey's, Bishop Long, who's been on this show, was also on that show. And then also later in this show, we have an interview with Laura, Jan, and Angie from Gatekeeper Paranormal, who are the official paranormal and tour group of Bobby Mackey's.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, two of those three were also on that show.
Yes.
So there is a big tie-in to Bobby Mackey's with this one because they're all on the show. But Bishop Long was in Louisville with us.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody asked him about the gates of hell, and he went on a little rant.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And
he was not having it.
And the most animated that he got all day long was talking about this place and how bad it is, and we're going to play a clip from that a little later of him talking about how bad this place is. So, like I said, there's all kinds of shadow people and stuff, and that's part of the story that he talks about. One of the most common occurrences is car trouble that people experience here, and we're going to focus on lots of experiences with the cemetery, and you'll see how often this car trouble stuff comes up during this. And another thing that happens, not just the car trouble, but objects in the car get rearranged. Like, if you've got stuff in the car, whatever, umbrellas or change or something like that, when you leave and come back, a lot of times they're in different places than they were, even though your car's locked.
Oh, dang.
I've been there, like I said, but it's been probably 13, 14 years ago.
You've been there?
Yes. We had this discussion this morning.
Oh, yeah, we did. That was like this morning. Why would you do that?
Because I wanted to see what was there.
Did you see anything?
No.
Oh.
But I was there during the daytime.
Oh, well, that don't count.
And I was there only there for like 10 minutes.
So anyways, you were scared?
No. We were only there for 10 minutes. We had to have something else to do. So most of the headstones are heavily damaged or eroded away because, like I said, this place is really old and there's been a lot of vandalism going on over the years. Supposedly, if you follow the trail all the way back into the forest, there's a little turnaround back there, and there's an oak tree that appears to be like out of place. It's just, it's like, what the hell's that doing there? Literally. Under the tree is a bloodstained rock altar. With that, so a lot of the sacrifices have taken place back there. And yes, there have been plenty of animal sacrifices, and we're going to get into that.
I'm not happy about this.
Documented animal sacrifices. Anyway, another legend says that there is a witch's grave. It's supposed to be a little girl, from my understanding. It's hard to find a lot on it, but there's supposed to be a witch's grave that's got an iron fence all the way around it. Some of you heard Bishop James Long, so we talked about that in Louisville, and we played the whole interview on the Patreon episode that we did. We released it for Patreon members. And I'm going to play you that clip right now because I think it'll set the tone for the rest of the experiences we talk about.
Okay.
You know, I think this is going to be one of those. It's like, oh, damn, now I can't wait to hear what else happened out there. If we have an exorcist and a priest that has this kind of fear of the place, this should grab your attention. So let's listen to Bishop Long.
I could talk to you guys about 2 hours of places that I've been to. The Gates of Hell Cemetery. The Gates of Hell Cemetery is stay away. Stay away. Do not go to the Gates of Hell. Stay far away. Gates of Hell Cemetery is in Kentucky. Yes, it is. Stay away. Guys, I'm serious. I swear. Can I just say real quick? When you go there, there is a fence around it. It's basically an abandoned cemetery. In the back is what they call the witch's tree. It's a dead tree. A lot of people will perform satanic rituals there, and a family contacted me to go in and then perform blessings. So we went in there. It was around midnight. We walked back there. It was deathly, deathly quiet. No crickets. You could hear nothing. We walked back there. I saw an animal that had been mutilated and a skull that was used. So I had that, by the way. I have that. I have taken it out. And when we were back there, the trees, just the top of the trees were swaying like they were about to break. And all around, we'd see like 200 shadows. I mean, just running around us. I mean, just running. It was every. And by the way, there was a police officer who was on our team. And he testified in all this. And we could clearly see the shadows. And there was only one way in and one way out. And so we said, okay, I'm not here to perform the minor rite of exorcism. I do not have my items. It's time to go. So we all felt like we were being closed in. Remember, one way in, one way out. So we were leaving, and just as soon as we got out, right about right here, there's a big tree right at the entrance. We turned around, and the officer was, I could hear that, because he was shaking. He was shining a light on this, even to this day, I don't know what it was. It was a big tree, full moon. We could see, clearly see it. It was about an 8-foot figure. We could see the wings spread out. It had eyes, red eyes. It was looking right down on us. And my other friend, who was a photographer, had a $400 camera, and he was so frightened, literally he dropped it, and it crashed everywhere. I'm telling you, I have never seen that thing before in my life. I don't know what it was, but I do know that if we had continued to move forward, something would have happened. That was actually the first. It's interesting. I don't get scared when I see someone ripping their fingernails off or something like this because they're fully possessed. But when I saw that, I was like, okay, I don't like this. Because I didn't know what I was dealing with. And even to say, I still don't know. That was terrifying. That was terrifying. That was really scary. So stay away from the gates of hell, guys. It's a really bad place. It's just one of those things. If you go there, you know, you might get something you don't want.
So how bad is a place when you've got a world-renowned exorcist who's seen so many things, so many demons, so many people possessed or at least mental issues where they think they're possessed, to scare somebody that bad to where to this day they're like, I was terrified.
Yeah. I mean, he was so passionate about it too. I mean, he almost like couldn't say it strong enough for you to hear him.
And out of the whole interview that he did today, or not interview, presentation, that was the only time where he had that kind of energy of like you said, passion and concern. So,
well, I don't want to go there, thank you. I'll just take his word for it.
I don't think he could have made it any more clear to stay away.
No, not at all.
So, I don't know. I just thought that would be cool to kind of set the tone. So we talked about occult activity up there. Some of this definitely has been documented. You heard him say he saw stuff himself that he, you know, a skull that he took back with him, saw some animals. Back in April of 2003, there was an article titled Grizzly Finds at the Hardin County Cemetery, Prompt Investigation. And that was back from the newspaper there in Hardin County. And this came about because two members of the Kentucky Society of Ghost Research, which is a group out of Louisville, they went there to do some investigating. And they also, I'll give them kudos for this, they go up there as a big group and try to take care of the place a little bit. They try to fix some stuff that's been
really
damaged.
Nice.
And so you'll hear a little bit more about that. But Pamela Brooks and Angela Amarine, they found the remains of three dogs, a puppy, two cats, a calf, and a deer scattered all around the cemetery.
Wow.
There was also a bloody 20-pound bag of dog food.
What's the point of that? Why you got dog food there? To lure
probably,
a man?
Probably to lure. So the Kentucky State Police investigated for some possible animal cruelty, but they said that there was no sign of cruelty or animal sacrifice. Trooper Roger Waters said that it appeared more like it was like a dumping ground for deceased animals. Pamela Brooks, though, she said that she could see how it might appear like that, but that was the bones and stuff had ashes and char marks on them. So that's not what was happening at all, in her opinion. And she said they were torn apart pretty good.
Oh, my gosh.
Trooper Waters said that animals normally have their throats slit and their hearts and organs removed in cases of sacrifice, and he didn't see any signs of that. But Brooks said that in her way of thinking is that there was definitely more going on than just animals being dumped there. She said that many people feel that it's a haunted place, but it's also a meeting place for satanic groups. She feels like that there's evidence of this because every time she's ever been there, she's found black candles and satanic spray paint on the road and the trees leading up to the way. Mm-hmm. Trooper Waters said that he didn't find any black camels, and he did see some spray paint, but he didn't consider it to be satanic for what he saw.
Mm-hmm.
Like he saw there was like a yellow cross, and he saw a outline of a body, you know, like a chalk outline that somebody had done. And I mean,
what else does he need?
And he saw a swastika.
Oh, well, hello.
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily satanic, but
right, it may not be, but it's definitely more than what he's thinking.
Right, I don't know. So Brooks said that the bodies were mutilated pretty bad, and they appeared to have been skinned and burnt. And she said mostly there was just bones left, but they weren't decayed. So it's not like they'd been just sitting around or rotting, and so that's how the bones got there. She said it looked like that they'd been stripped of the flesh. Since she also found some black electrical tape back there, and she thinks that the tape was maybe used to hold the tape to animals' mouths shut. But that's speculation.
Ninja.
Burke said it looked like two of the dogs were Rottweilers, and the other two were Beagles. One had its skull crushed in. The calf was by a burn barrel that had been used for animal sacrifices 2 years earlier. Brooks and Amreen have made some eerie discoveries up there during their investigations, and the Kentucky Society for Ghost Research came the July before that and cleaned up the grounds. The whole group experienced a negative feeling that they couldn't explain all at the same time when they were up there. Brooks said that the cemetery has been a destination for thrill seekers for years, and her group has actually scared some of them off because they want to stop the abuse of animals and the desecration of the cemetery.
Yeah.
So at some point, the cemetery was actually known as the Killing Field.
Oh, my gosh.
And after their last trip, they said they could see why it was called that.
That is so awful.
Another legend is that there was a bad spirit who was summoned by one of these rituals, and the spirit keeps all of the children's spirits in the area as prisoners. That was a demon in the background.
How can you keep them prisoners? Can't they go where they want?
Maybe, I don't know.
I mean,
we've heard stories before about houses to where there's one spirit that kind of keeps the other spirits at bay and stuff like that. So I don't necessarily know. Because if they don't know that they can go everywhere, they might feel trapped. I mean, why would there be ghosts still in prisons and stuff like that thing? I don't know. I wish I had the answers. Her friend recommended that they secure everything in their pockets. Or left in the car because they had heard about the spirits at the cemetery liking to take your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Jill was very skeptical because she obviously had never experienced anything from a haunted place. She'd been to several but never had anything happen. So she was like, okay, we're here. It's kind of creepy, but, you know, no big deal. But she took their word for it, and they took everything they had. They put it in their jacket pockets, and they zipped them up, you know, their coats and stuff like that. Other three did the exact same thing, and they, you know, had their wallets, cigarettes, lighters, stuff like that. They made sure all of it was secure. When they arrived at the cemetery, it was obvious that it was a very old cemetery. The dates on the headstones went all the way back to the
700s. 700?
1700s.
Okay. Oh, good grief.
Sorry, 1700s.
Okay. Whew.
Yeah, there was... There was nobody except for the Native Americans here in the 700s.
Oh.
She said the chills alone creeped her out. All they could hear was their own breath, every once in a while some rustling leaves from the wind, and an occasional cow mooing.
Moo.
One of the friends thought it would be funny to spit on some of the graves.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. Then he kicked it up a notch and decided that he was going to pee on a bush that was right there by one of the graves, and some of it got on the grave.
I hope his wiener fell off.
He wouldn't as, I don't know that happened. It didn't show up.
That's disrespectful.
Now, he wasn't as scared as the other three were, so he just kept doing stuff. They kept checking back at the car to make sure nothing was wrong, nothing was tampered with. They kind of just sat around for a little bit and took turns checking out some of the older headstones, and the whole crew was just smoking and flicking cigarettes all over the place. They were kind of being loud, laughing and stuff like that. Jill admits that they were kind of being disrespectful, and she kept telling everybody to make sure, you know, the stuff is still in your pockets. Well, the one friend walked up to her boyfriend and asked, you know, hey, dude, you need to quit spitting and peeing on graves and stuff. It's kind of disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Jill insisted that they leave, so she starts walking towards the car. Jill said at that point she heard a whisper in her left ear very clearly say, leave. She froze. She said she felt cold breath on the back of her neck, and then she heard, now. She screamed and told everybody that they needed to leave now. She was sick to her stomach, and she wanted out of there immediately. So she told them what had happened, and the guys, they didn't believe her. But they came to the car pretty quickly anyway, because obviously she was concerned. They made sure that they had all of their belongings, as they were told several mm-hmm. times.
Did they?
Yes. They sat in the same seats. This is part of her details of knowing how everything. They sat in the exact same seats they were
when they came
they
up.
Left. Mm-hmm. And the car started having troubles. It started sputtering and stuff, which it hadn't done on any of the trip. And this was a fairly new car.
Oh my gosh, I would be so scared.
As they're driving down this long road, one of the guys notices that there's a bunch of cows asleep in the pasture and thought it would be funny to go cow tipping. Okay, I immediately thought Tommy Boy.
And that is kind of funny. I've done that myself, actually. It's not really funny, but kind of
You've been cow tipping?
I have cow tipped.
That seems cruel.
It is cruel, and that's why I never did it again. Well, actually, go on with the story.
Jill just wanted to get out of there. She wasn't up for doing any cow tipping or anything. She just wanted to be gone. So the two guys really wanted to go, so they park on the side of the road. What? Think of Chris Farley and Rob Lowe?
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, so they park on the side of the road right in front of a ditch diagonal from this old creepy house. So Jill sat in the driver's seat, and she was told to flash lights if anybody came out.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if somebody came out, they wanted to come over there and pick them up. So mm-hmm. all three of them went over there except for her.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems was, one, she was scared to death.
Oh, God, yeah.
And two, this car was a stick, and she had never driven a stick shift before. So she didn't even know.
She didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
That's why you always should know how to drive any kind of vehicle.
So she starts looking over. This is actually kind of funny. They're now into the pasture heading towards these cows. And as she starts looking and focusing a little more, she notices something about all these cows. They've all got something in common.
What?
They're all bulls.
Oh. Yeah. Wouldn't want to be cow tipping a bull.
Yeah. So they eventually figured it out, and they come running. And they'd been over for a little bit, and it looked like two of them were looking for something. Well, when they get back to the car, one of them had lost their wallet. The guy who had been peeing on the graves and
mm-hmm,
stuff,
mm-hmm.
he lost his wallet and they couldn't find it.
Good.
And now the bulls were starting to get antsy,
mm-hmm.
so they couldn't look anymore. Well, at this time, a light came on in the house.
Oh, because they heard the bulls out there?
I guess
there?
They heard something, the commotion. The light comes on, and she starts flashing the light, and then they notice, hey, the car's not coming this way. So they all come running towards the car. They get in the car, and they take off. Now they're driving down this foggy road again. And now they said it was even more dense than what it was earlier. Now, the guy who had lost his wallet, he was obviously upset. He'd lost his wallet. I don't know how much money or any of that stuff was in it, but...
Well, I'd be more upset worrying about the demon would find his wallet and return it to him. Like, lose something, and then possess his ass.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's how it works. They look and return wallets.
Okay.
So anyway, so the guy was upset, and he's leaning his head up against the window of the car, and it was slightly cracked. That really has nothing to do with the story.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that she's just pointing out how many details she remembers about the
night. Dang, that's good.
All he could say was, damn, I can't believe I lost my wallet. But immediately after he said that, he heard a loud,
ooh, good timing, Ninja.
After he said that, he heard a very loud, distinct little girl giggling. It sounded like it came from outside the window, but it was impossible because they were driving, and it was 2 a.m. in the morning, and there was nothing but fields and houses, so there was no way. He looks over at Jill, and Jill's got a blank face, because she heard it too.
She heard the giggling?
Yeah, they both heard it, so they're just kind of looking at each
goodness.
Other. Here's the weird thing, though. They're the only two who heard it in the car. The guy who lost his wallet and Jill.
Yeah, because she heard the other stuff before.
Right. So now he believed that Jill had heard what she said she heard back at the cemetery. How about that?
That's so scary, I can't even stand it.
So that was that story.
Well, the reason I didn't want to tell you about the cow tipping story... It's because I was young and dumb-er, and so it was me, and I don't even remember who it was now. We was trying to tip the cow, and the cow did fall over, and then I cried because I saw, oh, my God, we hurt the cow. And I started giving him loving, and I said, I'm sorry, cow, and then we ran.
You gave a cow loving.
I gave him a hug, and I petted him, and I said, I'm sorry, cow. I'll never do this again. It's not funny. I did. I felt so bad. And it's so weird because when I went to work for Dr. Fox in Louisville, he brought up cow tipping. He was talking to a patient. He's like, I bet Teresa's been cow tipping. And he just like bellow laughing. Like, I'm like, what? And I'm like, what's so funny? Yeah, I have. And then he really lost it. He goes, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah, I'm serious. And it was really bad. I told him never to bring it up again. And of course he did. He told a lot of patients that I cow tipped. Made me feel bad. That was a good story. But I'm telling you what, honey. I'm going to listen to Bishop Long. I ain't going there.
We're going.
Now, I'm not going there.
He would tell you not to go to Sally House. He told you not to go to Bobby Mackey's, and we're going next week.
But I've already been to Bobby Mackey's.
Okay, but he told you not to, so.
I know. I got his holy water. I'll take it with me. Okay. He gave us holy water.
And oil.
I mean, oil is what I meant. Yeah, no, wait. No, he gave me both things. Yeah.
Yeah, and anointing oil.
But I ain't wasting my salt. That's just no good. No.
You better save your holy water for the Sally House.
Oh, my gosh. I am so scared.
All right. So let's talk a few other little quick ones. Now, Shauna said that she'd been there a bunch of times, and she had car trouble multiple times. One time, she even saw a Bible that had been burned earlier that day or either the night before. On one occasion, she said that it was her and a friend were out there, and they got one of her friends. This is odd. She said one of her friends just fell out of the car while they were driving.
How do you do that?
I don't know. But she said he fell out of the car. And when he did, he fell into a puddle. It was chilly.
It was chilly puddle?
No, it was chilly outside.
Oh.
And,
yeah. That a would puddle be, of chili.
What kind of drugs are you on?
I don't know.
So anyway, his shirt's wet. He falls in his puddle. His shirt's wet. And he takes his shirt off because it's soaked and it's cold. And this guy just kind of appears out of nowhere and takes off his shirt. And gives it to him. He literally gave him their shirt off his back.
No, he didn't.
And then they turned around to thank him, and the guy was just gone.
Oh, my God!
Keep in mind, this is in the middle of nowhere.
That was very nice. See, there are nice ghostesses out there.
And then there's Tiffany.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Tiffany said that words cannot describe this place. She said it's an eerie feeling of discomfort, like someone is always watching you. Karen said that she lived in a home that was in the area, and her children kept seeing other children who weren't there, specifically a little girl in a white gown with no shoes.
Wait, who was seeing the little girl?
The little kids.
Oh, the kids were. Okay.
Her 4-year-old son had frequent visits with this little girl in a white gown.
Aw, that's nice.
Apparently not.
Oh.
It got so bad that they had to break their lease, and they were sued by the landlord, and she said that they settled. But no amount of money could ever
Was she a mean little girl?
I don't know, but she said there was no amount of money that could ever be too much for the psychological marks that this type of situation would create on the child.
Oh, wow. That's a shame.
I know it.
That's really a shame.
Cass said that she went with some friends out there for a few times, and it got worse every time that she went out there. She said the first time she went, she only got about halfway through the cemetery, and there's a part where the path kind of cuts off.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she couldn't go any further.
What do you mean?
She said it was like there was an invisible wall there. She kept trying to go past it. She couldn't go back. It was almost like something was pushing her back. She said she heard a dark laugh, and her boyfriend told her that it was time to go because there were people in robes kneeling down in the center of the pillars. So they left. They did come back another night, though, and Cass said she felt uncomfortable but was actually able to go through this time. Then they start seeing some strange things, and they wanted to go. It was her and some friends and her boyfriend. She said, when she said she wanted to leave, her boyfriend started acting weird. He wanted to stay, and then just before they got out, they were almost out of the cemetery, her boyfriend yelled, and she looked at him, looked back over time, and she noticed that his arm was slashed open in three marks, and it was bleeding badly.
You
are kidding.
So three
slash marks. And she said whatever it was almost pulled him to the ground, and they never went back.
Oh, my Lord. I don't know why she went back in the first dang place.
I don't either. So that's the story of the Gates of Hell.
I don't even like that. Can you imagine living by that place?
Well, yeah, there's a bunch of,
No way!
And all the houses back there are like real old farmhouses and stuff, so it is creepy back there, even during the day. It looks like something out of Children of the Corn.
Wow, that was intense.
That's what we're going to do when we go out there and camp.
Hell
we're
going to
camp in tents.
No, you're, no.
Out there by that tree, Bishop
Yeah,
was talking about.
I bet
about.
You do.
That's what we really need to do.
I bet we don't.
We need to set up a show out there.
Jerry.
There wouldn't be any electricity. We'd have to just talk loud.
No, we're not doing that.
I think we do that.
No, I will not be participating in that event. If y'all want to get your all's asses possessed, you go on about yourself. Not me.
Okay. Would you like to read some Patreons and iTunes reviews, please?
I'm trying to calm my heart down.
Well, you can calm that down while I tell everybody about the next upcoming event that the tickets are available for. We're probably going, by the way, to try to set another event up for Bobby Mackey's because those tickets sold out months ago,
mm-hmm.
and there's only 50 seats available.
Yeah.
And I talked to the young ladies because we're getting ready to, after we get through talking about this, we're going to play the interview I did with Gatekeepers. And let me tell you about this on the interview. Remember we did the forest, Hoi Bachu Forest over in Romania?
Yeah.
They've been there.
They've been
going,
to the
and they're going back this November. So
they've
got
been
some,
to the Gates of Hell? I mean, that place. That terrible place?
Hoi Bachu. Yeah.
Say it again.
Hoi Bachu.
Hoi Bachu. It's so cute.
But they've been there and they're going back in November, so they were kind of talking about that.
What did they think? I don't remember.
Well, there's an interview that tells people. I'm not going to rehash it.
Oh.
But anyway, so, okay, let's jump back then. So Bobby Mackey's is a week from day on Sunday, but the young ladies that you're going to hear in this interview, two of the three, will be at Bobby Mackey's event. And they're going to be giving us some history. So it'd be us telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing Bobby Mackey's, by the way. We've got a cool story for you from...
I wonder if Wanda hunts there.
I don't know. That would.
I bet she does.
She probably does.
She was such a nice lady. Yeah. I bet she does. I bet her and old What's-His-Face hangs out.
Old What's-His-Face?
You know, that lived upstairs.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Carl Lawson.
Carl.
Yeah, we talk. So we talk a little bit about Carl. We talk about Bishop Bond. We talk about the gates of, I mean, the portals of hell being there and Jack and Katrina and all that. So it's a cool interview. So they'll be there. But
okay, great.
We did talk about setting up another one maybe for later this year since it'll be a lot of interest in it. Anyway, so then we've got Sally House coming up. There's only like 30 tickets left. If you have not got your tickets for Kansas, you might want to jump on those because they will sell out quick.
Mm-hmm.
A weekend of stuff. Indianapolis is the next event. It's this month, June 22nd, a week before Tracy's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be 87. She looks well for her age.
Thanks.
But it'll be the week before. And like I said, it'll be us and Justin Rimmel from Mysterious Circumstances, who you heard last week.
Mm-hmm.
The guys from Ohio, Natasha.
I am so excited about that show.
We'll be there. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be so much fun.
So anyway, I won't babble about upcoming shows. The birthday show, though, is coming up for 2023.
I think you already did it, babe.
All right. So, Tracy, you've got some iTunes reviews for this week?
I do. Palomo. No. Paloma.
Rojo.
Rojo. With rhymes with... Never mind. Leabella. C.M. West, 86. MJTJ 02 Mariana Bluegrass Will, and a special shout out to Adrian White and her beautiful unborn daughter Posey. And I know you're so excited to meet that beautiful, and I love, love, love that name. I love it.
And it's pretty awesome because she put in her review that if we could make mention of her unborn child, that she could go back later,
yeah,
and let her listen somewhere down the line.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's an honor. I mean, that really is truly an honor, and I cannot wait to see the sweet pictures of that baby. And wish you guys the best, honey. We love y'all.
And then we've got some Patreon.
We do. We have some Patreons this week. Claudette Gladue. Oh my gosh, I bet I've said your name to myself four times today because I just love the way it rolls.
How many times was it wrong when you said it?
Never. It might be wrong now, but I think it just sounds amazing. Stacy Aver, Braden Heron, Trina Dolls, and Shayla G. Thank you guys so much for your support. We really honestly couldn't do this without y'all and just your reviews and, you know, I don't even know what to say. You guys just, with our group and everything, with all the support, the reviews that you give us, I mean, it is really overwhelming, and we just feel so blessed every day that we get to see all this. We are just so blessed, and we can't wait to meet all of you guys. It's just, we just look so forward to it, and we just love you all, and we just want you to know that. I haven't said it quite like I've wanted to in a while.
And, you know, I'm glad you said that, because we've had a couple of people mention in reviews and stuff, and not everything's always going to be positive. We know that. But we've had a couple of people mention, oh, y'all talk about the live shows too much. But let me explain this to you that nobody really understands. These live shows, they're not about money.
No.
They're not about they're about us getting to meet so many people that we talk to on Facebook.
Yes.
and never, ever get to meet. I mean, that's why it kills us to be able to when somebody says, like, hey, I wish you'd come to Denver or wish you'd come to Phoenix. Trust me, we want to. And it's nothing to do with, you know, going to Houston was such a big thrill for us.
Oh, my gosh. It was
just
amazing.
Just because of the fact we got to get a little further west and meet up with some people we didn't, you know, would never get a chance to meet otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we get to go to, like, Indy and Cincy and stuff all the time. So there's a bunch of you guys that we've met a
right.
bunch of times.
And we are so grateful for that.
But, you know, when we see people, when we were in Houston, you know, Michelle Hannigan Scott, her and her daughter drove down from South Dakota all the way down to Houston.
I know. It just blows my mind. But, you know, I think she mentioned all the podcasts that were there she loved.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she just took advantage of it. And we cannot be more grateful for that.
But she is just one example of many who come big distances,
mm-hmm.
you know, to see us.
It still blows our mind. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't even get over it. I just can't.
So, yeah, we get excited about these live shows, and we want people to come out.
And Natasha's coming from Australia. Good Lord. Australia.
But keep in mind, we also have to pay for this stuff, too. So, yeah, that's why we have to sell tickets.
Yeah.
You know, we would love to be able to just go to places and just say, hey, let's have a big meetup.
I had a bazillion dollars, I swear, I would gather all of you guys up in one spot, and we just would have the best time ever, just getting to know each other. Oh, my gosh. I wish.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's definitely not about the money, or we'd be charging $40 a ticket have done.
Yeah, and we don't want to do that. We just want the honor of meeting you guys. That means more to us than anything. Anything.
Yeah, because some of these shows literally are $15 in three mm-hmm. shows, and we all split the money, so it's just enough for us to get from point A to point B. And
other podcasters feel the same way. It's not about that. It's about meeting you all in person and just saying thank you to what you do for us every week. And just, you know, the reviews we get, you know, that we make you guys laugh or make you feel better on a daily basis. Well, I mean, you guys make me feel that way. And I'm sure Jerry as well, with your kind reviews, even the bad reviews, it's okay. You know, it's fine. But we just really want you all to know how much we appreciate and love every one of you all. And I think I'd be lost without y'all now. I don't know what I'd even do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had people that they donate on Patreon mm-hmm. and then their financial situation has changed and they'll mm-hmm. have to quit donating, which is completely fine. And,
oh my
and
God, some, yes.
of them, some of you guys will write notes and be like, I'm so sorry. You know,
baby, y'all don't have to apologize for anything.
I always write back. Yeah. You never have to apologize for a financial situation. We appreciate anything and everything, and we never expect.
No, not at all. I think we would be more heartbroken if we lost members in the group or just people didn't listen to us. That would be devastating for me. I mean, because I've come to love all of you. I know I've never met a fourth of you. But we just want you all to know and just to make you realize that we love you guys. You guys are the best. We thank you for supporting us because there's days where I'm not having a great day, but then I'll read your review and then it just brings it all back.
And there's lots of ways to support. It's not always financial. It's not always coming to the show or Patreon. Mm-hmm. Just tell a friend about mm-hmm. us. Just tell, you know, if we've got a sponsor, Wix or something, mm-hmm. you know, and you want to get a website, get it from Wix. If you're going to get one anyway, get it from Wix.
Yep.
And those things help us as well mm-hmm. if it's something you're going to use anyway.
Didn't you say your son Austin already did that? Did you say... Didn't he do that?
He did Robin Hood.
Oh, Robin Hood.
And but we've got a guest that'll be on next week. She started a website, and she used Wix because we mm-hmm. were talking about it. So
all that
stuff helps us, but especially spreading the word, and that's completely free. If you could just get one person to subscribe to the podcast and start listening, that's more than we could ever ask for.
Oh, God, yeah. Join our group. Join in the conversation. The more the merrier. We'd love to get to know all of you, so...
Yep.
I didn't mean to ramble on. I just haven't said it in a long time, but just know you guys are really appreciated, and we just love you guys.
So now let's listen to Laura, Angie, and Jan from Gatekeeper Paranormal. You're going to like this. This is very, very educational and also informative. So it's pretty fun. I guess educational and informative are kind of the same thing.
About the same thing, but you know.
Either way. Anyway, we love you guys, and have a listen to them real quick. Hey guys, we got a special treat for you because it's been a little over a year since we've had an opportunity to talk to our friends over at Gatekeeper Paranormal. And tonight we've got Jan, Angie, and Laura on from the group. How are you doing tonight, ladies?
Good.
Doing good, Jerry.
Doing great.
Now, we have you on because you are the official paranormal investigators and run the tours of Bobby Mackey's, and obviously... You guys will be in charge of giving us some history and doing the tours when we do our event there just a few weeks from now.
Yeah, can't wait. It'll
be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun just because I know how that place is. And I know we're going to have 50 people in there that are excited. And we're going to have the place all to ourselves. So that's kind of cool. Out of all the events we've done, usually they're at a bar or a restaurant or something. This is the first one we've actually done that's within the haunted establishment that we're doing a show in. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we're pretty fortunate that we have firsthand access to Bobby Mackey's. He's entrusted us and with the bar for the past, 5 or 6 years, I think. And we know the building pretty much like the back of our hand.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, when we set this thing up 5-6 months ago, we didn't have an idea. You guys might have already. But just a couple of weeks ago, Portals of Hell had their – showing of the episode where they were at Bobby Mackey's, and they had some longtime friends in there. Of course, you guys were there, at least some of you. And then we had Bishop James Long, who's been on the show and did one of our live events up in Louisville. He was on the show, so it was really cool. That has got a renewed interest in Bobby Mackey's. Not that it ever went anywhere, because that's always going to be one of the top places, but it got a little extra buzz once that episode came out. Angie, what are your thoughts on what you've seen so far? Have you seen renewed interest of people calling wanting more tours than they normally would this time of year since that episode came out, or has it had any effect at all?
Yeah, I think so. The past couple of weeks, I think they've increased a little bit. I know we've had a lot more you know, like messages coming through on social media and stuff like that. And Laura, I don't know if you've seen, you think what an increase in requests.
It seemed like it to me. It seemed like in the week following the show, it seemed like we got kind of a clump of requests for tours, like all at once. But, you know, summer just normally is busier than the rest of the year. Or at least busier than the winter time. So it's kind of hard to say, but it did seem like there for about a week, we did get quite a few all at once come in.
Yeah. And we noticed there was a lot more, like you said, Jerry, buzz over social media. You know, people were talking about it more, you know, just showing interest. You know, there were good reviews and there were bad reviews.
And there are still people who say, oh, I would never go there. You couldn't pay me to go there. You know, there's still those people.
Yeah.
Always.
So let me ask you this. So I didn't get to see every bit of the episode. We were actually out of town in Houston doing another live event, so I missed some of it. How many of you actually got to make it onto the TV show?
It was Angie and I. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Jan was available. I think she had a conflict personal schedule or something like that.
Or maybe she doesn't like being on TV.
Yeah. No.
They want to be. Well, Laura wants to be the TV star.
No, I don't.
Come
on. And Angie won't watch herself anyway.
We had fun with it, though. It was a lot of fun. It was, you know, good to meet Jack and Katrina again, so.
I noticed I saw the part where Laura was on, and the first thing I thought of was, hey, at least they got Laura and her name right. Because when y'all did the BuzzFeed Paranormal, or the BuzzFeed Unsolved Paranormal episodes they were doing, they had Angie on there, but they had Laura's name. So,
right. Yeah, that was a mess.
And you know, that happens. I mean, we've read a lot of, you know, different articles and different you know, segments like the BuzzFeed where, you know, they've got, you know, their references incorrect, but it happens.
What's going to be cool about this event, and I want to touch back on Portals of Hell here in a little bit, but I want to get back to this event. What's going to be good about this one is this is the only event we've done. And since we've got the advantage of being inside of a location like Bobby Mackey's, there was no way we were going to do this without having some type of a tour set up. And that's where you guys come in. Y'all have graciously cut a sweet deal on this thing. I mean, everybody that comes is going to get a show from us, and then you guys are going to tell the history and then give an hour tour. And, you know, the tickets prices that people are paying you guys, you know, that's a bargain because that's, you know, less than you guys normally charge for a tour right there for, you know, so I thought that was awesome of you guys to make this happen where it was very affordable for everybody.
Yeah. And we do, we wanted to be able to keep it affordable for, you know, everybody from, you know, just the local, adrenaline junkies to the, you know, to the larger actual, you know, the paranormal groups that are not that everybody's not serious, but the groups that are, you know, more serious, you know, about investigating. We want to be able to keep it affordable for everybody to come and experience it. And again, we've got many people from all over the world that do come. So, and Bobby is very humble and gracious that, you know, that people do, you know, come and see the bar. And then of course, sometimes they'll even, you know, go on the weekends and watch him play with his band.
It's hard to believe because Bobby's up there now. He's in his 70s, but he still puts on a heck of a show.
Yeah, he does.
So let me ask you this. Over the years, Bobby has pretty much kind of blown it off. You know, I don't really believe in ghosts. I've kind of heard some stories that as of the last year, year and a half, that he's kind of going back on that a little bit and saying he believes in a little more than he ever let on. Do you guys get that feeling?
I don't know.
You're right.
He doesn't give it no mind.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Yeah. He's like you said, he's back and forth on it. I think, again, he's a healthy skeptic. I think, you know, he believes that everybody has these experiences and you know, have seen and heard things. And I believe he wants to believe because, you know, his current wife and also his wife, first wife, who's now deceased, you know, she experienced things as well. And I think that he really wants to believe the, you know, the stories that he's heard. But again, he's that skeptic. I think it's, you know, processing it. Am I really seeing or hearing this? You know, the logical part of his brain is just not processing it, I guess, maybe. I don't know. But,
and that happens to all of us, I think, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have something dramatic happen. It's hard to believe.
Right.
You know, everything that you hear.
Yeah, that's understandable. And there's some people out there, they're never going to believe until they have that incident that happens
to them. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, Laura is our biggest skeptic of our group. And I think she's had some pretty remarkable thing, you know, experiences.
I've had a remarkable experience last night. Do you want me to tell it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. She won't be there on that night.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't be there. I don't think so. I won't be able to tell my story. But here's what it is. For the last couple of years, because there's pool tables in the back of the bull room, there are three pool tables. And every time I give a tour, if there are balls sitting on the table, I usually take a few of them and I put them next to the pockets, just like right on the edge. They're not hanging over. I just put them there. And I always ask the spirits to knock them in. It's never happened. So, you know, but I still do it every time I put the balls out. Well, last night I did that. And when we were all standing back there, I had eight people and we were standing back there and nothing happened. So we walked away to another part of the building and we were actually sitting at some of the tables. One of the girls kind of freaked out and said she saw a shadow back in the corner. So her and I and another girl got up and walked to the opposite side of the room from where she saw the shadow. And we were just standing there watching to see if the shadow was going to reappear. And she said something like, I wish if there was something there, it would knock one of those balls in. And no joke, a ball went in. And there was nobody around that table. Nobody was walking. Nobody was moving. The ball just fell in the pocket and rolled down. And it was amazing. And, you know, I'm a skeptic. I call myself a skeptical believer now. But that was incredible. And I don't know what to say about it other than it was incredible.
Were you jealous that you've been asking for years and this lady asked one time and it happened?
I know, really. I never thought of it that way, Jerry. Thanks.
Well, you know, Lord, for you to be a skeptic, but you've seen a full-bodied apparition in there.
I know.
Like, what does it have to happen, Laura, to make you a true believer?
I don't, for it to knock a pool ball in when I say, not her. I don't know.
Do you got to come out with scratches? I mean,
I've been scratched too. So
yeah.
Well,
I don't know. I just have to question things. That's what it is. I mean, if there's an explanation, I need to try to find it. And if I can't find one, then it's just unexplained. I don't know.
So you,
I guess I do the same thing.
You brought up scratches. That brings me to my next point. So let's back to the portals of hell because I knew we were going to go back there. Bishop Long was very adamant when he talked to Katrina and Jack about not going back in that place. And of course, Bishop Long was involved with the exorcism with Carl Lawson. So I can understand why he may have some thoughts. And I guess my question is, he seemed pretty intent that there's something evil inside of Bobby Mackey's, where not a lot of people had that same take. What do you three feel? You're in there all the time. What do you think is there? And do you think there's anything there that is malevolent?
My answer is no.
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 Mm-mm. No, but there is definitely something there. Are they angry spirits? I think so. Are they confused? Yes, I think so. And Katrina asked this same question. she and Jack both asked, you know, why do you think there are spirits here? Do you think they're demonic? And my answer, speaking for myself, is no, I don't think they're demonic, but I think there's something there because of the hundreds of people that come into that building doing all sorts of different religious rituals. Just, you know, some of them are very, I don't want to be insulting, but and call anyone weird, but some of these rituals are very weird. They're just very odd. And I think it confuses, spirits, and they're just conjuring all kinds of different entities. We've had people just do some really weird stuff there. And I think it's drawing attention to things to come in. But I don't think it's demonic.
And along that line, I have another theory as well. Also, because it is a bar that's open every Friday and Saturday. Now, I'm not saying this to put it down or anything like that, because my gosh, there are hundreds and hundreds of people who absolutely love that place. However, it can get a little rowdy sometimes. And, you know, people drink, people, you know, there's fights. I mean, that's mm-hmm. just, not to put too fine a point on it, but fights occur. And I just think there's so much energy in that mm-hmm. place on Fridays and Saturdays, some of it bad with people, you know, maybe drinking too much or getting in a fight. And some of it's good, people having a great time and dancing and having fun, but it's like a tornado of energy that gets whipped up in that place every single weekend.
Yeah.
And I just think that fuels them sometimes, you know, good or bad. I think sometimes it just fuels them and gives them that energy they need to come through.
Yeah.
Well, that makes
and
sense.
Piggybacking off of that, also there were discussions of if someone had some kind of an addiction, whether it be, you know, drugs, alcohol, or whatever it may be, could that possibly be attracting things? So I've had several people come through on my tours that admitted that they had some sort of a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction, and they were current addicts, not former addicts, not recovering addicts, but actively abusing drugs and alcohol. And I think having that addiction, there's already, of course, you already have this negative energy about you because of that. And I think that draws even more negative energy. So it's kind of like it's feeding off of that, if that makes sense.
No, it definitely makes sense.
That's what I was going to say before she said that, was that the people coming on our tours, I think it's the energy that they bring with them. Because some nights it's super quiet, but our patrons may be quiet as well. So I think just sometimes it's who is there at the time.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, as much as I love Bobby Mackey's and talking about Bobby Mackey's, we've had your group on before talking about that. So I don't want to rehash a bunch of that. I just want to talk a little bit about the show. But what I do want to talk about is we did three or four months ago, we did an episode on the Hoia Baciu Forest in Romania. And y'all took a trip there and have another trip planned. Tell me a little bit about what you experienced or didn't experience and your thoughts on that place.
Oh, wow. Gosh, where do we start, Laura? Wow. Well, I mean, yeah, we went, what, in October of 2015, I think it was?
Yep, 15.
And just long story short, we met a tour guide, like at midnight. I mean, you've got, you know, let me paint a picture here. You've got four American women in the middle of a foreign country that does not speak their language, meeting a stranger at midnight to take them on a guided tour through the forest.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
And that's exactly what we did. So yeah, we had, you know, a lot of expectations that unfortunately didn't pan out, but we had I thought was just a very unique experience that no one else, we could say no one else or no other group in the world would has ever experienced.
Well, I'm excited to hear about that.
So Laura, go, you take it from there.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Okay. Well, you know, I had this. So I really thought that, you know, we could just walk around on our own and just explore the forest, maybe do some EVP sessions, you know, and just have some nice peace and quiet. Well, it didn't work out that way because there was a group of men that had been camped out in the clearing. Because as you know, there's a clearing in the middle of the forest where nothing grows. So these guys had been camped there for 3 days. They were mostly Romanians, but there was one American guy. And there was just such negative energy coming off of them, and they did not want us there. And I've said that actually it was a YouTube video. I mentioned that, and I got all kinds of flack for that because people are, you know, thinking we're putting our emotions onto them. But no, I mean, we were very polite to them, but we could just tell they didn't want us there. But what they said they were doing is they had been there for 3 days, camping out, fasting and praying, trying to rid the forest of whatever evil spirits live there. But that's not just what they were doing. They had swords, actual big swords, like
Game of Thrones swords.
Yeah, Game of Thrones swords, all stuck in the ground in a circle. And, you know, we kind of asked them, like, you know, what are the swords for? And they never really told us. You know, they just said, yeah, we got swords. And it was just such an odd experience.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, I don't know. We heard some kind of weird, like, chanting or singing. They had put these weird symbols all over the trees and spray painted on the ground. Whatever kind of ritual they were doing, they claimed to be ridding the forest of evil. So I don't know. It was just really bizarre.
So as we were walking away, by the way, our tour guide.
Oh, he hid. Yeah.
He was hiding back in the shadows where they couldn't see him. And I guess he maybe had encountered them sometime and a point in time during those 3 days that they were there.
Yeah, because he knew they were there.
Yeah. And so he was, you know, hiding behind, you know, back in the shadows where they couldn't see him. And then, you know, after asking about them, they said, I believe, that they were some type of a church.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we had the vibe. They just did not want us there. They didn't want us talking. And it was the American man that spoke for the others. The others became very quiet and never spoke. They really didn't even move. They just stood and watched us. And so, you know, after 10 or 15 minutes of us, you know, trying to conversate with them, not getting a whole lot back. So we decided to, you know, to back off and just go and explore, you know, the rest of the forest. And as we're walking away through the forest, we could hear drumming and the chanting. And occasionally it sounded like footsteps, like we were being followed. And then as soon as we stopped, the footsteps would stop. And then we would walk, you know, further and hear it again. And like Laura said, there were these, I mean, at one point there was like a ram's head that was painted on a tree. They had carvings in the trees. It was just really, really bizarre. So yeah, we weren't able to really do any kind of investigating because of that.
Well, that sucks. You drive all the way from here to Romania.
I know.
Right. right.
They're wanting to hog the clearing.
Have a great story.
It is a great story. And of course, after we walked away, I'm the crazy one that kept wanting to go back and say, I want to go spy on them and see what they're doing. But yeah, I was voted down.
It was a unique experience, though, really. How many people can say they've had, you know, that experience in the forest? It's, you know, we were actually, I think we were pretty lucky. Like I said, four American women in a foreign country that did not speak the language in the middle of a forest. 12 o'clock midnight, and we made it out of there alive. So
that is quite the story. I'll give you that.
And we're going back for more. So
that's right.
So when are y'all going back? November, did you say?
Yep. Yes.
What if those same guys are still in the clearing? We're still working on it.
I would be upset.
But you know what? We're going to put a, you know, sit down with them. I'm going to sit down and have a seat, and I'll, you know, break bread with them if I have to. I don't know.
But the sad thing is, Jerry, the guy that we met, his name was Alex, and they are actually part of a group that's trying to save the forest because around the edge of the forest, like at the bottom of the hill, because we had to hike up a pretty steep hill to get up there, but at the bottom of the hill, they're actually building condos and apartments. And lately, they've been doing a lot of clearing of the forest, like cutting down a bunch of trees. And of course, this group that Alex was with, you know, they're trying to save the forest and prevent all this chopping down of trees that's been going on, because it's almost like they're trying to clear the whole land for development. And like I said, this group of people is trying to save it.
Now, everything we did on the story, it pretty much painted a picture of most of the locals are deathly afraid of the place. Most refuse to go into it. Now, a lot of times those stories will get inflated by the time, you know, it's been passed down and passed down and passed down. What was your take on how people felt about it when you were actually there?
You know, I don't really think we talked to many people other than Alex about the forest.
We didn't really.
Yeah.
But he just told us that, you know, a lot of people, especially the, I guess, people from the country, the village, you know, like, I guess older people that don't live in the cities that live out in the countries, they're more likely to be the ones that are afraid of it than, you know, the modern people who live in the city.
That makes sense.
That's what he said. I don't know.
Okay. So I want to wrap up on this. It's been fun having you guys on. I appreciate you taking the time to do this because I know y'all have a very busy schedule right now. But you've got some stuff that you're working on for next year, and I wanted to bring a little attention to that because you guys are doing something that we would love to be able to do in the future, and I'm a little envious right now, but why don't you tell the listeners what y'all are going to be doing here next year?
We are planning a trip to Scotland and Ireland. It'll be in September of 2020. Do you remember the dates, Angie? I think it's September 1st.
I can't remember.
It's first to the 10th.
To the 10th.
Yeah, first to the 10th.
Mm-hmm. Of 2020. And we're doing like a haunted tour of Scotland and Ireland, visiting some of the haunted locations there. And we're, you know, trying to bring some people along with us.
So listeners, if you're hearing this and you're up for a trip to Scotland and Ireland next September, they've got the setup for you. This would be a dream vacation for me. I can tell you that already.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. It's so haunted.
And to get more information on that, as far as like the itinerary and the accommodations, you can check out our Facebook page, our events calendar. Do we have it on the website yet?
It's not on our website, but it's on the Facebook events. And we'll post a new one just so people don't have to search too hard for it. We'll post a new information page about it.
And that's and we'll post a link to your Facebook page on our page as well. But that's Gatekeeper Paranormal.
Yeah.
And yeah, that sounds like such a fun place. So, do you know, we've done a couple of shows from over there. So, you know, it'd probably be fun. I'm sure you're going to be hitting some of them. Let me ask you this. I know you probably don't have the itinerary right in front of you. Is Hellfire Club in Dublin one of the ones that you're going to?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
It is.
Let's see. It looks like we've got Leap Castle, some of the Game of Thrones sites, Loch Ness, Stirling Castle, Greyfriars Graveyard. There's a few more on here.
Oh, wow.
But we should have, I think that link is going to have a lot more of the actual locations that we're going to be visiting. So
sounds like fun. Well, thank you for so much for joining us. Like as I said, I know you got a very busy schedule going on and you took some time out and literally just set this up today. So that's how awesome you guys are.
No problem.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pleasure talking to you again.
And we're looking forward to meeting you guys in person because it'll be my first time meeting you in person here on the 9th, only a week and a half away or so.
Yep. We'll see you then.
All right. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a good night.
So they are a lot of fun.
They are.
We're going to have a good time with that next week.
Yes, we are.
And hopefully some other time.
I'm ready to have fun. And I hope that all you guys that are coming, you will enjoy it. You'll have a good time.
And I like that it's on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, though.
Yeah, and let me say this. If you're coming, there's not going to be any food or drink there. It's a bar, but they're not going to be open for that.
No, they're not open at all.
So feel free to bring, like, drinks and stuff. We're not going to have anything supplied there. So bring you a drink. Just bring it, you know, in like a bottle or something that's covered up or something. But yeah. feel free to bring drinks with you.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice places to eat around there as well, but... I mean, they're barely open.
Yeah, this thing's early. It's 12, I mean, literally, 12 o'clock is the time this thing goes. It'll be over by 3.
Yeah. So. And if you want to, maybe some of us can meet somewhere and go have lunch or something. That would be nice.
Yeah, right? We might be able to do that afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Why not? And then, but yeah, like we said, they're barely open. They're open Friday and Saturday, and that is it. No electric, no air, or nothing's turned on during the week.
In the... In that area, it's just up the road a little bit, but it's the restaurant that Rain Man was filmed at. You know, the episode where, or the part of Rain Man where he dropped all the toothpicks and was talking about the remembering stuff out of the phone book and stuff like that. That restaurant is right there in that area, too. Because remember, we did that for Valentine's Day. We ate at that restaurant and went on a tour of Bobby Mikey with Wanda K.
Oh, yeah. Boy, I tell you what, if any of you are ever just going through that area, and you want a place to stay, you need to stay at the, what's it called? I forgot already.
Wildwood Inn.
Ah, they have all these different rooms that are themed. We stayed in the cave room. Oh my gosh, you guys,
the whole
amazing.
Thing inside is like a cave. You think you're in a cave the entire time.
It's so cool, you guys. There's so many themed rooms. They got a nice pool. It's just a really cool place to go. So just saying, if you're all ever passing through and, you know, want to, find some place to stay. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, Wildwood Inn is pretty cool. They're not sponsoring us by any means, but
no.
Check them out.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's all we got for you this week. We appreciate you listening.
Yeah. Sorry I talked about my itchy butt, but we're all family here, so we love you. Hope you all have a wonderful week.
Good morning, Officer Rob, Indianapolis Police Department. Sir, can I see some identification?
Well, good morning, officer. That's an awfully nice bulge there in your pants. You don't meet too many Ohio boys, do you?
Now, cut the fruitcake stuff. Do you care to explain why you're dressed like some kind of Scarlet Woman streetwalker out here flagging people down?
Yeah, see, I... That's a really good question. I do a podcast, and we have a live show here in Indianapolis in just a few weeks. I was just trying to spread the word with flyers and handshakes.
Can you step out of the vehicle? There's a very strong odor coming from this vehicle.
Not to worry, officer. I always smell like shit.
No, I smell alcohol. Get out of the car.
Wait. Do you know the difference between your mom and this ticket you're about to give me?
What's that?
I'm going to tear them both up tonight.
All right, you're coming with me.
Join Nick and Rob from Brohio, Justin Rimmel from Mysterious Circumstances, and Jerry and Tracy from Hillbilly Horror Stories live.
That's right, Rob Dog. Saturday, June 22nd at Gina's Grill in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Tickets are just $15 and they are going fast.
Just do a quick Google search for the Bad Boys and Tracy in Indy, or you can check out eventbrite.com. All of the tickets are available there.
Nick, Rob, Justin, Tracy, and Jerry cannot wait to see you there.
Me too. Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.